Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody today. I'm going to be joined by you guys. Usually, I have the show, the mailbag show on Mondays. You have alliteration. You have all those things. Today, though, we're pushing that, back a day so that you guys could have started your work week with Candace Parker and James Worthy. I also heard your guys' complaints about the audio quality. It's weird that it works out this way, but it's just easier to get decent audio quality by recording via Skype. When I record in person, and I'm not in like the perfect situation there, this microphone that I have isn't ideal for that kind of setting where you record basically two people talking to each other. So I'm sorry, but if I can do anything to get those guys, whether it's Candace Parker, James Worthy, anybody that Spectrum wants to offer me on the podcast, I'm going to do whatever I can. And unfortunately, that means in this case that the audio quality takes a bit of a hit. Moving on, though, before we get to the content here, and you guys sent in a ton of questions, so we're going to have to work our tails off here to get them all in. I want to make sure to remind you that in only a couple days now, 2 days, by the time you guys are listening to this, we are going to be meeting at Tom's Urban right across the street from Staples Center. Hop on tomsurban.com/lockedon for exclusive details and deals and all of those things. I had somebody let me know today that they went to Tom's Urban and they went to tomsurban.com/lockedon, showed them the deal that is going to be there for everybody when we're all there at Tom's Urban together, and they honored it a couple days early. So if you guys are just happen to stop by Tom's Urban, go, make sure you log on to tomsurban.com/lockedon, and you get access to those deals even before we all meet up at the restaurant together. Just a heads up. Let's hurry up and get to these questions. Yeah, that sound good? Like I said, with an extra day, they piled up a little bit more, so I'm still going to answer them to the best of my abilities and as well as I can answer them. There's some really good ones in here. And it's a good opportunity to let everybody know as we get into speculation season and rumor season how to handle that. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Somebody asked how to get into this industry. That's always interesting to talk about. I'll try to keep that short. I took a weird track to get here, but we'll get to that. Let's dive in though, huh? So the first question comes from Clarence Boy Willie. Sup, Anthony. Big fan of the show. Thanks. I was on Twitter today and saw a tweet from Twitter account Scoop B saying his sources have the Lakers, Pelicans, and Magic in a three-team trade on December 15th. Ball, Ingram, Vucevic to New Orleans, AD and Payton to LA, and picks to Orlando. What do you think of that trade? Hope you pick this question for your show. I pick all five-star questions. So if it's a five-star question, I will get to it. I'm going to put this, I don't mean this as a shot directly at Scoopy or whoever the reporter might be. There are a lot of people out there who this time of year hunt for retweets and will put sources in front of any rumor that you can think of. For me personally, as I aggregate all of this, and I've been doing aggregation now for a few years, I only trust Woj, Shams, Mark Stein, Sam Amick, like the cream of the crop. If those guys tweeted out, it's getting a retweet from me. It's probably getting an article from me. And that's just kind of how that works. You basically have to prove yourself in order to showcase that I can trust you. And I also have some sourcing as it pertains to some of this stuff as well. And there are situations where I see some of the reporting from people who I don't necessarily trust, for lack of a better term, and I just ignore it because it doesn't line up with what I'm saying or what I'm hearing. This AD stuff, it doesn't line up with what I'm hearing. There's a lot of speculation and there's a lot of people talking out there about how the clutch thing is not a coincidence, and that Rich Paul is trying to get Anthony Davis to LA because it would help both Anthony Davis and it would help LeBron. So I'm sure that you're going to hear a lot of rumors and speculation about that, because Rich Paul is going to be doing whatever he can behind the scenes to try to make that work, or I guess leak it into existence. And that's kind of where that's going to go. And you're going to see a ton of rumors about everybody. We already got the stuff about Trevor Ariza, which, again, like, we're still 4 days away by the time this we can actually start seeing some of these trades. So I just don't see a point in freaking out now when we don't necessarily have to. We'll cross that bridge when we get there, and we'll see what that bridge might look like. It might be crazy. It might be something a little bit more low key. Whatever it might be, though, you can guarantee that we're going to talk about it here on Locked On Lakers. So just in general, be super careful. Wait for the big guns to step in and do it and leak it and report it, and then you can kind of go from there. I'm going to take a quick second, the first quick second here, to pay a couple bills, and when we come back, I'm going to keep answering your questions. All right, so the next question here comes from Sam the Oil Man. Do you think we will make a trade before the deadline? Love the show. Thanks, man. I think they'll make some kind of a deal. I think it's just kind of lined up. The roster still has a couple questions here. There are guys on the roster who have expiring deals, and those typically are really easy to move and combine for guys who will help a little bit more. I think Lance Stephenson isn't long for this roster. I don't know how long Michael Beasley is going to be on this roster. KCP has the kind of contract that you can add in a bigger trade. So I think, and then obviously the Lakers have young pieces, but the only situation I think where they include their young pieces, especially given how much promise they've shown, Kyle Kuzma looks like he's going to be able to fit very nicely alongside LeBron James. He's been incredible lately. Josh Hart, to me, is probably my favorite young Laker right now, and I think the Lakers are going to think long and hard before they move him. Magic Johnson drafted Lonzo Ball second overall, and I think because of that, he's going to be a little hesitant to move Lonzo unless it's in an Anthony Davis-type deal. And then, you know, the only guy who I could see maybe being moved here is Brandon Ingram, not just because of fit concerns and all of that, but because Magic Johnson didn't draft him, and that kind of stuff matters. That's the kind of stuff you keep an eye on as we get into rumor season, and as much as it would suck to see Brandon go, I still believe in him as a player. It just wouldn't surprise me. So, moving on, next question from I'm Drew. This is a friend of the show. Hey, Anthony, what advanced stats are you looking at most frequently? I really appreciate you choosing my questions. This show, along with Laker Film Room, makes me want to pursue this career. I'd also take advice you can share on how to get started. I'll start with the advanced stats thing. I'm not really a big advanced stats guy. I think for me, what I've found the most useful this year has been lineup data. That's what I've typically relied on the most. I think net rating tells, not a full story, but if you're at the top of the list in terms of most positive impact in terms of net rating, then you're doing some things right, right? If it's a decent sample size. If you're at the very bottom of players who make an impact in terms of net rating, you're probably doing some things wrong. And we're a third of the way through the season right now, and we're getting to a point where we're really starting to learn these things. I was really frustrated with how Luke used Lance Stephenson in last night's game. I just don't see a point of him being out there. And you know, Luke has had minutes in all of these games since Rajon Rondo and Brandon Ingram went down, where either LeBron or Lonzo aren't on the court, or they're both not on the court. And I just don't get it. I think Luke has done a really good job, and I've liked a lot of what I've seen there, but the way he uses some of these lineups and his reliance on guys as they continue to prove time and time and time again, especially in Lance's case, that he doesn't deserve those minutes. He doesn't play the right way. He doesn't approach the game in the same way that the Lakers seem to approach it or seem to want to approach it. And yeah, that was a bummer to see. So in terms of the advanced stats, I like the on-off stuff. I like net rating. The stuff that I think where we get into trouble is where you start looking at you know, the all-encompassing stats that try to define value across positions. I think that's where we're getting into some trouble there. And then my favorite aspect of watching sports, period, is that there's stuff that we can't define. There's stuff like momentum, and there's stuff like confidence and how different players are going to handle different situations mentally. Those kinds of things are incalculable, and as such, keep me even more interested. And not, I don't even care to learn to be able to define those things tangibly and mathematically at all. I like that there are some aspects of the game that we'll just never understand. It's like life. There are just some stuff out there that you won't ever understand, and that makes life all the more intriguing. I got deep. As far as making it in this industry, I'll just, I guess, really briefly, if I had any advice to give anybody, and if I had one piece of advice to give to anybody looking to make it in this industry, is study the market as much as you're going to study the content itself. You got to find market inefficiencies. At the time when we launched, at the time it was the Team Tank podcast, and some of you guys have been there from the very beginning. When we launched it, I kind of looked around and I thought to myself, the market is kind of lacking in terms of Lakers-specific podcast content. And I thought there was always going to be a market for it. I never would have dreamed that I would reach where I currently am, and that the show it currently is. But it was really important, I thought, to continue to study the market and find where is this lacking. I mean, Pete is another incredible example, right? Where he kind of looked at the market and he said, "Well, I have this great background of knowledge as a former coach. There isn't very much video breakdown stuff there. There's a giant chasm in the market that I can exploit." And he took care of business, and he's turned that into a career for himself as well. So I think that's the most important thing. And then you know, that's a industry specific thing. But making it in this industry is accomplishing a dream, and as such, you have to be willing to take a few lumps. It took 3 years to get my first paycheck, and my first paycheck was in the hundreds for the entire month. So it was, you know, it's not the kind of thing that happens right away. And hell, I know a lot of people who I consider a lot more talented than me that it didn't really work out for at all, you know, that's just kind of how it goes when you pursue a dream. So you kind of sort of got to be willing to stick your neck out there, and it's going to take. I mean, these last couple weekends are the first weekends off that I've had in 5+ years, probably maybe even 7 years. I always was working, and it took. I don't really think of myself as a particularly hard worker. I've been fortunate enough to make it in an industry where I haven't necessarily had to think of it as hard work. But that's really what it took. It took an almost addictive personality as it pertains to chasing this dream. And for me, it just seems to have worked out. So I'm blessed. We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to get to the rest of your guys' questions. We have a ton to get to, so sit tight. All right, this next question comes from 2 Weeks With Pay. Why won't the Lakers use Hart in their starting lineup? Anthony, love the show. Thanks. Just heard on the last mailbag, we could ask you questions for the mailbag here, so I thought I would ask away. It remains confounding to me that the Lakers' best lineup seems to be the starting lineup with Josh Hart in place of Ingram. They have used that lineup for 56 minutes, and it has a robust plus 11 net rating. See this? Net rating stuff. Lineup data. Yet, they seem to have refused to go back to it. I know Hart has had an ankle injury the last three games he's been fine. Do you see that changing? It is frustrating that Luke will try out all these different lineups but then continually ignore his most successful one. Well, obviously Luke's hand was kind of forced here, unfortunately, because Brandon Ingram got hurt, and I want to again be absolutely clear, I would never root for an injury just in order to have a point made. And it sucks that that LaMarcus Aldridge made that dirty play. In my opinion, on plays like that where guys, if you're willing to give him a flagrant foul for it, I think you should be willing to suspend the guy for as long as the guy is out who gets hurt on the play. I think that should be the rule across sports with all dirty plays. If a pitcher throws a fastball and it catches a batter just in the right spot, and it looks like that pitcher did that on purpose, that pitcher should sit out for just as many starts as that batter misses. Football, same thing. If a lineman rolls up on a quarterback and the quarterback really hurts his knee and is out for the year, I think that lineman should, that defensive lineman, should miss just as much time. I don't think there's a place for these athletes are incredible. I don't need dirty plays in my professional sports or in any sport. So anyway, quick rant aside, as it pertains to this lineup, I've really liked what I've seen from these guys. I think everybody watching probably it's kind of nice that the Lakers aren't starting when the second unit starts filtering in. They aren't doing so with some kind of a hole night in, night out. So that's been kind of nice. All that said, I still kind of think if Ingram comes back in the next couple games, he'll probably regain his starting spot because he didn't miss enough time to have Josh Hart really make a statement in the starting lineup. It's a bummer because I really think it's the right move, but that's where we kind of currently stand. All right, next question comes from Clutch_Hutch_. Hey, Anthony, if you had to make a player comparison all time for the Lakers' current starting five, who would those players be? Zoe, Ingram, Kuz, LeBron, and McGee. Also, when is Harrison coming back for a visit? Love the show. Well, I don't know about Harrison coming back to this show, but we do host a weekly show together on a different feed. You guys could go check that out at Silver Screen Roll. All right, let's look at players that these guys remind me of. Lonzo is really weird because he's so good at a lot of the things that you need your point guard to be good at, but he's also just flat out awful at some of the things he isn't good at, right? So it's kind of harder to define a guy like that. I mean, people don't like hearing this, but he kind of reminds me of a taller Rajon Rondo, the similar approach, especially defensively. With just trying to run around and create havoc by just kind of playing rover. Rondo did that kind of thing quite a bit. Obviously, Lonzo being bigger makes him more effective as in that role. Can't really shoot. Lonzo can't. And please don't show me his three-point shooting statistics. This is where, you know, you guys can laugh at me all you want, but I don't quite trust him. He doesn't look comfortable shooting, and as such, I don't consider him a very good shooter. And then his finishing at the basket is just not great. But he still finds a way to make an impact. And so I do think there's plenty of time for him to figure out. So a bigger Rondo for Ingram. He's another weird one. I Andrew Wiggins has been a comparison that people have been making lately, especially in games where Ingram doesn't play very well. So that's probably not great that there's some truth to that, I think. I think Luke Richard and Mbamute or you know those kinds of longer, lankier wings who can get after it defensively and then you know, find a role offensively. I think that's where Ingram's going to be, and the sooner that he gets out of this mode of scoring as much in isolation as he does, I think he'll be a lot more efficient a player. Kyle Kuzma, I mean, hell, if this new player, the way that he's been playing since Brandon Ingram went down, is who he is, then it's really hard to figure out how good he could be. If he's a good, valuable defensive asset, if he can create for others to the extent he has lately, then that's great. So I don't know about I guess direct comparisons for him. I just name efficient wings who fill roles on good teams. That's who he would be. LeBron is LeBron. No difficulty in figuring out what comparison to make there. And then McGee is a tall, lanky, super athletic big. I don't like player-to-player comparisons. I don't know if you're picking up on this. I just think it doesn't do any good to anybody involved. But McGee is a perfectly serviceable NBA big who is way outperforming the contract that he signed. So that's good. Next question here comes from Tosca Bella. Love the show and understand the criticism of Ingram for floating around and waiting for the ball. Could you repeat, analyze LeBron's off-ball movement? It seems pretty similar to what Ingram does. Keep up the great work. Thanks. This is a pretty simple question to answer. Yes, LeBron does tend to float a little bit. Now, every so often, you know, he can float, one, because he's LeBron James, and when he gets the ball, he's such a great isolation player. He's so good at getting to the basket that he can play that role and still be efficient. And then, two, when he floats, he creates gravity because nobody wants to leave LeBron open from three, and that isn't the case with Ingram. So yes, I would kind of agree with LeBron floating in the way that people seem to be frustrated about, or that I have been frustrated about with Ingram. But because he is so efficient and so freaking good, he can make that work, and not just make it work, but obviously thrive in that kind of role. Next question here comes from Ryan Cox 01. Hey, I like the show. I love basketball, and I like being able to listen and get a good content on a lot of times about the same things I'm thinking. Thanks, man. Thank you. Question. I know that when Kawhi Leonard was in San Antonio, that he said he wanted to play in LA. First of all, did that mean the Lakers or Clippers? It meant either. And secondly, is he so happy in Toronto that he doesn't want to leave, or do you think that there's a chance he could ultimately still want to come to the Lakers and play with LeBron? Also, how well would he fit with LeBron? Well, that one's easy. He would fit really well. Look, Toronto is having an incredible season so far. I believe I read somewhere that he already bought a house in Toronto, which it shows a level of commitment to the city. I think if I had to handicap this one way or the other, I would probably make Toronto the favorites to sign him, then followed by probably the Clippers and then the Lakers. He just seems like a different dude, and I wouldn't put it past him to, if he does leave Toronto, shock a lot of people and really go to a city that people weren't really thinking about when he became a free agent. So he's hard to figure out because he just never talks. there's very little of content out there for me to speculate based on. That's not the same way, like, say, LeBron works. There were chunks of bread lying along the path that led him to come to the Lakers that people could kind of pick up and analyze. There isn't quite that with Kawhi Leonard in the same way. So that makes it tough to figure out what he's doing next. Next question here. This is from Unbelievable. Great podcast. Thanks. Nice balance from the true emotional fan angle. That's me. And the data film driven audiences. That's probably beat. The podcast provides its fair share of laughs, sometimes unintentionally. I'll take that, I think. Question for the mailbag. Do you see JaVale, Rondo, or Tyson on the team next year? Tyson, I could maybe see. I think he really is enjoying being a Laker. I think JaVale is probably going to try to cash in one more time, which might make it tough for the Lakers to afford him. He's been so good this year. I mean, both guys have been that good this year to where they might be able to cash in for one more contract. Rondo, maybe, I don't know. It depends on who they sign. Like, if they walk away from this upcoming offseason with a bona fide star point guard, I think that hurts the chances of Rondo coming back. I kind of think he wants a bigger role than the backup to a star. If it's Lonzo Ball and he takes enough strides to where it looks like he might be a star, I still think Rondo sticks around for that because he can continue to help there. And it seems to me he really likes the Lakers organization. So maybe Rondo, but I think if I had to list them in order of likelihood that are staying, I'd probably say Tyson, then JaVale, then Rondo. Tyson, then Rondo, then JaVale. That's how I would go. Final answer, I think. Next question. This is from Tommy Rainville. Why do the refs league-wide hate Josh Hart? Offense, no foul calls. Defense, everything he does is a foul. The young guy's bias is at an extreme with him in particular, if you ask me. Well, for one thing, he plays defense a little too physically. I mean, Pete and I talked about this a few weeks ago. I really think he's like the perfect 90s player. Like, if he played in the 90s, you would get a lot of the, you know, I wouldn't say Hall of Famer, but he would have made an all-star game in the 90s with the way that he can play defense there and clamp down and the physicality and allowing hand-checking would greatly benefit him there. That's not the case in the league currently, and I think right now he has a bit of a reputation for playing defense a little bit too physically. Offensively, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why he doesn't get calls on offense. He's obviously young. I haven't been particularly pleased with the refereeing across the NBA right now. I really think they screwed themselves with that freedom of movement rule that they try to institute. And Josh Hart, being as physical as he is, has gained a reputation for that on defense. And then I think he might have also gained a reputation on offense that, you know, guys can get away with being a little bit more physical with him. He's not a top five pick that refs will sometimes protect a little bit. He's obviously not an all-star. So being a role player drafted later in the draft, that I think that plays a role here. It's stupid, but I think that plays a role here. This is from QBreezy12. Is D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle the two players Magic is targeting this winter to bring the Lakers back? That's funny. That hell would freeze over before that happens, but you got a good laugh out of me. That was really good, QBreezy. Next question here. This is from Scott in Yorba Belinda. Voters for recent years apparently are bored with LeBron consideration, LeBron MVP, even with the obvious propping up of Cavaliers each year. Assuming LeBron's numbers finish close to the status quo, what regular season team results will the Lakers need to accomplish for voters to be able to escape the obvious Cavaliers season crash, also not going unnoticed? Also, I'm sure Tom's Urban is a wonderful place. It is. But how long before you have a watch party in your Yorba Linda Anaheim backyard area? Plenty of great venues. Keep up the great work. I want to do this. It'd be cool to do this. I don't want to call it touring or whatever, but it'd be nice to get a few venues involved here. So if you either know somebody who owns a restaurant or know of a restaurant that you think would work out for us, then let me know. Send an email to lakerslockedon@gmail.com and I'll figure it out. And that goes for all businesses. If you want to have your business showcased here, let me know. Send me an email. Next question here. As it pertains to the LeBron thing, the Lakers right now are on pace to win 52 games. A lot of this has to do with whether like Giannis keeps up his current season trajectory. Anthony Davis has had a good season so far. Steph Curry has shown that he got back and the Warriors became the Warriors again. So that's not going to go unnoticed. But I do think, though, if the Lakers win, you know, 52 to 55 wins, and the supporting cast is one that people questioned for an entire year, then I think LeBron more than earned himself that MVP. It'd be great too. That'd be awesome if he won MVP. Next one from Calbo 24/8. Who is your all-time Lakers starting five? If I can keep, I can use LeBron, right? He's a Laker, so I would go Magic, Kobe, LeBron. Magic, Kobe, LeBron. The center spot's like impossible, right? Like, I could do Kareem, which would be, and he's one of the greatest players of all time, but Shaq, while he was a Laker, was like the most dominant force that the league has really ever seen. One of the most dominant forces that the league has ever seen. So I probably go Magic, Kobe, LeBron, Shaq, and Powell. Or Worthy. Either Powell or Worthy. One of those two guys. Powell, depending on who I'm playing against, right? Like if I'm going up against another all-time five and I'm going up against, say, Boston, who can put together a front court of Kevin McHale and KG and Larry Bird, I would probably have Powell out there to match up with either KG or Kevin McHale. Or I would have, if I'm playing against another team that has an all-time team that has a running kind of four, then I'd throw Worthy out there. I think Worthy would be the more fun player to have in that group also, because they could just get out and run like crazy. Next question by Jay Pearl. I know this might sound crazy, but I do not think the Lakers should make any huge moves, not even Anthony Davis this season, nor the next, when it comes to trading their young pieces. I just believe that if you get another superstar via trading very young core, that teams would know how to defend the Lakers. I don't know about that point. The advantage of their team right now is their versatility at every position and also the ability to be unpredictable every night when it comes to productivity of each player other than LeBron James, whom we all know is always going to be efficient on a night-to-night basis. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steph Curry were not traded but were nurtured into champions, and Kevin Durant, the superstar, joined the team that was already cohesive with star-caliber talent. I already see the strides that our young core has made. You get my point. Championships are won with superstardom, and Anthony Davis is a bona fide top five player right now, and you do what you can to get that guy. Like, you have to ask your question, do you think Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, or Josh Hart could develop into being top five players? And I mean, for me right now, the answer is no. So you acquire the top five player and you make stuff work around him. And preferably speaking, the Lakers keep a couple young guys. I don't know if they'd be able to, because they're going to be offers from Boston and everywhere else that the Lakers would have to top to be able to acquire Anthony Davis. So we'll see. But you get the superstar, and you just try to make it work around him. And in this case, like you said, that, you know, LeBron's production is predictable. Well, Anthony Davis's production is predictable, and he would fit alongside LeBron really well. So you make that, you do that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Next question from Derek T 1992. Hey Anthony, I'm curious as to what the likelihood is the Lakers trade for Ariza after December 15. He seems like a perfect fit to play alongside LeBron off the bench, and even though we already have plenty of forwards, what would we have to give up for a guy like Ariza? Thanks in advance if you answer my question. I think the trade right now is probably KCP to Philadelphia, Markel Fultz to Phoenix, and Trevor Ariza to LA. That's what it sounds like the speculation has been, and then that trade seems to make the most sense. I just you can't have enough wings in the modern NBA, especially wings with experience the way Ariza does. A lot of people are pointing to his metrics about, you know, maybe he's taken a step back. Sure, maybe, but I think that has a lot to do with the dumpster fire next to a nuclear plant that is the Phoenix Suns. We already saw the revitalization of Tyson Chandler's career out here by getting away from Phoenix. I would imagine we see the same thing from Trevor Ariza. So I think you make that trade, and you have an extra veteran who I think you trust a little bit more in big situations than you do with KCP. Next question here. This is from ThenL33. If an Anthony Davis type of player does become available, which young guy do you hope the Lakers are able to keep? Is the top of the East stronger than the top of the West right now? Does anyone in the East have a shot over the Warriors? Man, this is getting really difficult to answer, because if Kuzma can defend, he's a long wing who can play either wing spot, either the four or the three. He has the footwork that allows him to play defense on the perimeter against twos. So that's a really versatile player, and he can space the floor. So he's made a case for himself. I've always been a big Josh Hart fan, right? You can put him on any good team, and he would help that team win a championship. And that's how I feel about him with this team. Lonzo Ball has more upside, I think, than both of those guys. And he approaches the game in a way that allows superstars to be superstars, and his defense is also a legitimate game changer. That said, if his offense never really comes around, that really hurts what a team is looking to do. So that would be tough, and also there's just a high likelihood that he would be involved in a trade here, because the whatever team trades away an Anthony Davis type is going to be looking to get top five talent in return, and I would imagine it would cost the Lakers both Ingram and Lonzo. So I think that's how that would probably go. And again, I don't say this to sound down on Ingram, but and just in terms of fit on this team, I just kind of think he would have to be included in a trade. It's a bummer, but because of the way that he approaches the game, because he seems to only want to be an isolation scorer, I just think you let him do that in another city. Next question here. I have two more. Thanks for hanging in there, everybody. My voice is about to give out. This is from Dogberry 2025. Who would you rather have on the roster, Lance Stephenson or Carmelo Anthony? No other choices, neither. Wait, that's not a choice. I would probably say Lance, only because he has seemed willing to accept the scenario where he might not play. And Carmelo, at this stage of his career, Carmelo already is not a particularly efficient player, but what makes him like actively harmful to what your team is looking to do is that he doesn't know that his skills have dwindled as far as they have, and there is nothing tougher to add to a situation, and there are no tougher players to coach than a star who doesn't know that they aren't a star anymore. Last question here. This is from Laker for Life, Go Lake Show, Go. Hey, fan of the show. Recently, I started following a reporter who covers the Lakers and supposedly has real ties with LeBron's management. A lot of people have been saying he was even the first one to actually report LeBron to the Lakers. Anyway, for the last couple weeks, he's been saying that an Anthony Davis trade to the Lakers is happening, and the deal has been in the works for a while. He's even gone out to say that the deal could be done as early as next week once the Lakers can trade more assets. One of the deals he says they are working on is a three-team trade involving the Lakers, Pelicans, and Magic. I already answered this. I answered the exact from the exact same reporter. I'll just say this. This reporter at one point said that Kobe was going to play in the big three, and and he swung and missed big time. And like I said earlier, now maybe he'll get some right, and if he does get some stuff right, then I'll take him a little bit more seriously. But what it comes down to is trust on these stories, and he, I guess, is working to make up for that one. So that'll do it for this one. We'll see what we're right around the corner from December 15th, and we'll see what those trades and speculation might look and sound like. But as of right now, let's just enjoy this. The Lakers are a game and a half out of the top spot in the West. Would you have ever? I would never have predicted that. And they're doing so. They're finding an identity. They seem to be really having fun, and they seem to really like each other. Like, these things are. This is the kind of season that you want to stop and smell the roses as often as possible, and in this case, enjoy this. This is fun. This is a fun team that happens to be winning and has maybe the greatest player of all time on it. Let's enjoy that. And when that speculation starts swirling about what might be next, we can address that when that does. So that'll do it, though, for this one. Again, circle that calendar, and I hope to see all of you guys December 13th at Tom's Urban, right across the street from Staples Center. Go to tomsurban.com/lockedon to find details and offers for that night, and apparently any night that you go there. And I'll see you guys there. Have a great rest of your day.